Hi, I'm Craig Freeman, and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. The positive benefits of music in the mind have been well documented. Music can evoke memories from the deepest recesses of our mind, it can help us to become better communicators, and has even been used to reduce seizures. These are without a doubt incredible benefits, but personally, I think one of the greatest benefits of music is fun. When we're young, music is introduced to us to be fun, an enjoyable, joyous, cathartic experience. My guests today are active in sharing the joy and fun of music with children and their families. I'd like to welcome Paul Bauer and Katrina Davidson to the studio today. Together, they are a duo and they perform classroom music and fun concerts all throughout Southwest Michigan. And they are Small Sounds. Welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It, guys.
Thanks for having us, Craig.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We'll get to some music pretty quickly here, but just a little bit of background on both of you. Paul, maybe we can start with you. How did you get into music and what prompted you to start this journey in performing children's music?
Well, my love of music started when I was a little kid, going through my parents' records, just finding things that I thought the covers looked really cool, so I would just put them on or just listen to those. But as far as playing music, I didn't start till about 11 when I got into drums, and I just wanted to be a rock and roll drummer when I grew up and, you know, rock star on the stage. But slowly just kind of, I don't know, this kids music thing just kind of happened naturally. I was working as a preschool teacher. I've always been obsessed with jingles. So I just think it really fits pretty well for me with that kind of playful attitude and really short songs for my short attention span. So
spoken like a true percussionist.
Yeah, exactly.
Katrina, what's your history and background with music?
So I grew up in a family full of musicians. We would spend a lot of time around the piano. I have two other sisters, and so my mom would play piano, and we would sing a lot of Broadway tunes, a lot of old-timey 1950s tunes. And my father plays guitar, so pretty much all our family gatherings have incorporate music. And
that's great.
Long history with music.
That's good. If you could introduce your first tune and take it away.
We'll start with an oldie but a goodie. This is off our first record, and this honestly wouldn't have been started without, I should give props to our good friend Neil Furstenlight, a.k.a. Mr. Singer, a.k.a. Electric Neil from Chicago, who kind of got this whole ball rolling for us. But this song's called Hey Alligator.
Way down yonder in the sticky swamp, live a mean alligator that loved to chomp. He swim all day just looking for food. And if you're not careful, he might eat you. Hey, alligator.
Hey, alligator.
I'm not yours to eat.
I'm not yours to eat.
Green alligator.
Green alligator.
I'm not your treat.
I'm not your treat.
I say, hey, alligator, just leave me alone. Everybody pile into the boat. Better hope that we stay afloat. Better not fall overboard, or you may not make it back to shore. Hey, alligator.
Hey, alligator.
I'm not yours to eat.
I'm not yours to eat.
Green alligator.
Green alligator.
I'm not your treat. Eat her, I might eat you. He says, hey, you with the alligator purse. Take it personally when I eat you first. Here I come, sweet plump one. Hey, alligator.
Hey, alligator.
I'm not yours to eat.
I'm not yours to eat.
Green alligator.
Green alligator.
I'm not your treat.
I'm not your treat.
Hey, alligator, just leave me. me alone. Hey, alligator, just leave me alone. One more. Hey, alligator, just leave me alone.
All right. If you're just joining us, welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. We're here in the WMUK Takeda studio with Paul Bauer and Katrina Davidson. Together, they are Small Sounds, and they perform music for children. And we just heard "Hey Alligator," nice little tune. So, about the songwriting process, you said you credited one of your friends to that. What goes into writing a tune for children? Like, is it different? Do you approach it differently than writing, I guess, a non-children's song? I'm not sure how I would classify that, but could you tell me a little bit about the writing process and what goes into that?
It's really a process. Kind of it starts off as a weird humming or melody or rhythm on my iPhone, then I'll revisit it later, try to figure out what I was trying to convey, and just kind of go from there. And I usually hear orchestrations in my head a little bit, or maybe I don't. I'll come back to things months later and realize, oh yeah, should do something with that. But really, I think it just, not to think too much about it and just kind of go for it. I mean, I'm just trying to write music that I think is fun and isn't just quote unquote kids music. It can be rock and roll, but it's all about the content, I guess. You know, we just have songs about robots, but I like to think the music underneath it is, could be on par with something you'd hear in like a club or something. It's just, instead of being about something else, it's about a robot who loves to dance or an alligator who's swimming through the swamp.
Stories, yeah. Telling stories.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll write songs in the car. So it's like whenever we have downtime, like you said, sometimes it'll start as like a hum or like a phrase or a word or an idea. And we'll just be like singing around the house and then maybe record it if we like it. And then I think we wrote one song recently on a car ride out to see my sister in Minneapolis. So it was like 8 hours on the road. So he was driving and kind of singing and humming, and then I was like jotting down lyrics.
Yeah, I'm sure you had plenty of time to think something up there. So it seems like you're, Paul, as far as your process is concerned, you're not really dedicated to the idea of creating music just for children. You want to just create good songs or good tuneful music.
Yeah, because I want to, if I'm going to be playing it and we're going to be performing it, I would like it to be something that I'm not going to get tired of playing or has enough, longevity and substance that I want to enjoy playing it too. It's not overly candy corn or anything like that.
Yeah.
Too sugary, but...
Hard kids music.
Yeah.
Hard kids music. Created a new category.
Rockin'.
Yeah. I just come from a more of a rock and roll background and listening to lots of different stuff. I just like to think that with kids music, as an adult, people always ask you, well, what's your band about? You have to say, oh, we're funk or we're rock or we're something like this. With kids music, I feel that you don't have to fit into any sort of pigeonhole. You don't have to be a genre. Yeah. On our album, we'll have an electronic song, then a bluegrass tune, or there'll be, like a punk rock inspired song. I mean, it's fun to just run the gamut. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was obsessed with jingles and all sorts of different music growing up. And it's fun to kind of put all these jingle ideas and weird stuff into something that, kids can enjoy and I can enjoy and we can enjoy performing.
Yeah, I'm reminded of They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I love them. Grew up listening to them a lot.
Yeah, they produced, stop me if I'm wrong, but I think they made a children's album.
They have several, yeah.
And you, upon listening to it, you wouldn't know it. It's just, I think they have a song about the sun and... It's just it's good music, and I think it has to start there. And when you try and fit things into a mold, I think that's when you lose a lot of the quality with which you were talking about earlier. So I think that's a good way to look at things. Not that there's a right or wrong way to do it. Do you have any background with working with children? You're a teacher, is that correct? Or
yeah,
former teacher.
I taught preschool for a few years, and I grew up around a lot of kids. I have older sisters, so I had nieces and nephews when I was younger. I think that may have kept me in touch with my inner child a little longer,
And your mom had a preschool.
Yeah, mom had a daycare at her house. So I grew up with lots of kids around, and there's always music. And I think just kids have always been kind of a big part of life, whether it's family or instruction. So it's kind of a nice tether to that world of wonderment where you see a stump or a rock and you're like, I wonder what it'd be like to live underneath that rock, or if you had a house that was on top of that stump, or just kind of keeps you a little more open to weird ideas for songs, and just never know. Yeah. Kids are always, they don't stop to think about what they say. They just say really imaginative stuff. Like, that's a really crazy, cool idea. So
also getting back to the structure of songs and your process, it seems pretty stream of conscious. Is that kind of a good way to describe it?
Yeah, to an extent.
I wondered if you could just talk about what goes into writing like a new tune. Like, do you have, do you think of the lyrics first, or do you just, you know, you're walking by a rock and you think, oh, that'd be a cool song. And does it start there? Is there a process that you rely on, or is it all just whatever comes to you?
Yeah, not really. I like to think that the process might not be the same every time, and just being okay with that, being okay with half of an idea to start, or maybe I'll start something and it starts on drums, or a song will start on piano, or it'll start on guitar, or it'll just be some weird synth sound I use Logic to write in, and it could be just some weird sound I find or make in Logic, and that sound can inspire an idea. Or one day we were driving and we almost, a little possum ran out in front
of us.
And it just, at that moment, for whatever reason, we just started singing about having a pet possum, and then we were only 3 minutes from home. We already had a song written, basically. So I got home and just started playing guitar and figuring out, like, okay, what could this be about? And it started, ended up being just kind of this bluegrass-inspired song about a person who loses their pet possum and they're trying to look for him. And actually, we're going to play that one today, too. So,
cool.
But yeah, you just got to be ready for it whenever it hits you. So yeah. Sometimes it's 3 a.m. and you don't sleep, or stay up all night. And, you know, you just never know.
Night owl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I think that allows you to be free to accept whatever comes to your mind. And,
yeah, it's just, you know, looking at the world around you in a different way, too, and just thinking, like I said before, a thing doesn't have to be what you always think it is.
Yeah.
So, my opinion.
But I would add that after you get that initial idea, you do get into kind of like a rhythm, but kind of a method of laying down your tracks.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched you kind of, you know, depending on where the idea starts, like, generally you're laying down the rhythm first and then we're adding lyrics over it. So when we get to that point, and then knowing how far to go with kind of the demo and when is it really ready for recording in the studio. When we get to that part, I would say there's a little bit more of a kind of a structure. But
yeah, Katrina is really vital in helping me with my
organization
and also with figuring out my melodies. I'm not the world's greatest singer, and I'll be the first to admit it, but so I'll have an idea and maybe I'm singing it, but it's not quite, I hear it in my head, and then she can take what I'm doing and she'll go to the piano and she can figure it out a little better and smooth out the edges of what I'm trying to figure out too. So
yeah,
it's a good team.
That's good. And just to be clear, you are husband and wife. So
yes. We are.
Yeah.
Yes.
That creates a good dynamic, right? You know each other so well, and I'm sure that can be a good thing and a bad thing sometimes.
It can, because you can also be really honest with each other and,
and have to be raw,
yeah,
and open.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you gave such a great intro to the possum tune. I think it would be a good time to hear that.
All right. Well, this is going to be on the upcoming album that we've been working on for a while. Yeah, it's just called, tentatively titled, My Pet Possum. So
can I just add something here?
Yeah,
so I don't sing on this song, but I have a very vital role to play in live performances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I have a little possum puppet
that right,
I dance around stage and the kids go wild.
I should have brought the puppet
so
today.
So if I, you know, jump around stage and kind of hide it behind Paul's head or behind a speaker or the microphone, and they lose their minds for it. They love
it's
it.
True.
So you won't get to hear that today. Right. But
see that? You hear that possum?
Yeah.
Just use your imagination on that part.
Awesome.
So yeah, this is one we wrote in the car when a little possum ran out in front of us. And I'd like to add, we avoided it. It was safe as far as we could see.
Well, I've been sad since yesterday.
'Cause my pet possum, he ran away. Well, I've been searching high and low. Where did that pesky possum go? I've been sad since yesterday. My pet possum, he ran away. I've been searching high and low. Where did that pesky possum go? Well, I checked a hollow log. In there sat a fat bullfrog. Did a possum come this way? No, sir, ain't seen a possum today. Well, I checked the chicken coop. I learned quick that I'd been duped. The old hens began to cluck. Sorry, hun, you're out of luck. Wandered through the rows of corn to Mr. Horse in the big red barn. Excuse me, sir, have you seen my friend?
Nay, not today, check the pen.
Well, them pigs were having fun, rolling round in the mud. No possum in sight. Day was turning into night. Tiptoed up the stairs, I could not believe my ears. Snoring loud and playing dead, that a possum was a napping in my bed. Swing your possum round and round, now swing your possum to the ground, now swing your possum to and fro. Well, swing your possum, let it go. And that's that silly song.
If you're just joining us, this is Weekend Let's Hear It. We're live in the WMUK Takeda studio with Paul Bauer and Katrina Davidson. And together they are Small Sounds. They played children's concerts. And that was the possum song?
My pet possum.
My pet possum. That was awesome. I can just imagine... a sea of kids jumping up and down and going crazy. Could you describe like what a typical show experience is like?
Oh, typical. There's not really.
Yeah. Someone pee their pants one time. They had so much fun.
I thought someone spilled water.
We're like, yes, we killed that performance.
And it turned out a little girl. Yeah, she had so much fun.
Been a dingy bar.
Wet herself, yeah.
So do you play a lot of variety of concerts? So are you doing, like, I know there's the Crybaby concert series. What types of shows do you typically do? And could you describe your typical audience?
Gotcha. Typical audience is usually around at the youngest end that can kind of really get it and have a lot of fun is age 3.5, probably up to, you know, generally 5 or 6. But we're finding that even some older kids have really gotten into it. Some of those too cool for school 10 and 11-year-olds have been even known to be joining into, and you know how it is. You know, you're going to be in 6th grade soon. You're too cool for this kind of music. So, but it's fun to see them get into it. But usually preschool, early L is about the target for a lot of it. So,
and are you going out to the schools to do this? Are you doing this at different venues, libraries? Where do you typically play?
This summer we'll be... at the Kalamazoo Library for some gigs. Hopefully, we're actually going to get into the festival circuit this year. We got contacted by a festival here in Michigan to potentially play a show for them. So that'd be great. We've always wanted to do a festival and have yet to do one. So every year, it just seems like it kind of grows and we get different gigs and more gigs. But we've played anywhere from strange little local farm gigs where you don't know what you're walking into, you know, and they're like set up here over in this dirt patch or corner or something, and you really don't know what you're getting into, you know, all the way up to Fretboard Festival
Christmas concert for the city. So we actually have a full band experience as well, where we have Paul on drums usually and singing. Who else?
It was Jesse on drums.
Drums. So we have a full band performance, and one of the places we did that was Fretboard Festival, like he mentioned, and then the tree lighting ceremony in Bronson Park. And that was pretty nerve-wracking because there's hundreds of people there, but it was pretty fun.
They said over like 1,000, I can't remember the exact amount, but it
several
was
several hundred to 1,000 people there. So
it was.
But we also do little birthday parties for people. So sometimes it's just a private birthday party. And
I was just thinking this would be perfect for
a
birthday party.
And then Kalamazoo Institute of Arts has a grant.
It's the Caddy Grant,
the Kalamazoo Caddy grant. Artistic. So that puts Paul does those. Those aren't really shows. Those are a little more like curriculum, like interactive lessons for kids.
Yeah.
So you teach and you perform. You are very active.
Yeah. Got to stay busy when you're doing music full time. It's really a patchwork of a lot of things, as you know. So it's got to build and, you know, get what you can. Sometimes you have to just kind of find your own gigs. But I like all of it. I think I like recording and performing the most of all of it.
Speaking of performing, it reminded me. This question is for Katrina, since you're the expert puppeteer for the last tune. How do you work to engage your audiences at these concerts and involve them in the process of music making? Because your music is like undoubtedly just fun, and you're not performing to, you know, crowd of people sitting in their seats quietly, like I imagine.
No, we encourage a lot of participation.
Yeah, some like movement and participation, I feel like would be a big part of what you do. And how do you do that? Or how, what's
yeah,
it like for
so
you?
The possum song is a good example. So I'll put the little possum puppet on my hand and kind of run around and let them pet the possum kind of while the performance is going on. One kid grabbed it, my hand, because he was trying to catch the possum.
Oh, naturally.
So things like that. But a lot of the songs, we kind of have little, I have little hand motions I'll do, and I'll kind of point out to them when it's their turn. We do a little bit of call and response. Actually, we have quite a few songs that do mm-hmm. that. So we didn't do it in the studio, but a lot of times before we do a song like Hey Alligator, Paul will kind of call out, here's what it's going to be. I'm going to say this, and then follow Miss Katrina, and she's going to, you want to sing with her and respond and sing along. Yeah. And so I'll do kind of model what they're supposed to say, and then I'll have a little motion, like a finger wagging motion, like, hey, alligator, leave me, don't bother me.
And, yeah.
So
that's great. Like that. It almost feels like a sneaky classroom lesson.
It is.
Kind of, yeah. And it's any sort of action that'll keep them from crowding you. Sometimes you'll get, if you're not on a stage, there are zero boundaries a lot of the time.
Yeah, they will just. They're always rushing.
They will be around you. This is the most calm performance we've ever had.
Yeah. That is another thing I'll do during performances. He definitely is the center and like leading the whole performance. So I'll kind of do stage control and kind of gently lead kids back to
follow me back this
the main
way.
Area, yeah. You know, because they'll like get completely behind us and start turning knobs on the.
And that all depends on the show too. So.
Yeah, sometimes.
So when you expand into a 4-piece band, how many?
5-piece usually, yeah. We'll have a drummer, so that takes some of the pressure off of me to be playing rhythm and guitar at the same time. We've got another guitarist to handle other lead lines, and I'll do more rhythm and strumming. I had a bass player, and then I'll have Katrina on vocals and me. And that frees me up to kind of interact even more and walk away from where I'm tethered to a bass drum perhaps or something. When it's just a duo performance, I can kind of get out and move around more and jump around and dance. So it makes it a lot more fun for me too, and just takes a lot of pressure off.
Do you change the arrangements at all to make them a little more lush, maybe?
Well, actually, we've changed the arrangements for this particular thing. Usually the arrangements on the album are full band, you know, full recordings, horns, violins, on some of them, cello, piano parts. So for this section, this is a pretty stripped down version. This is probably the most stripped down I've played for these songs. So that was a bit of a challenge. So
small sounds.
The initial
unplugged.
Writing is like a lot of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Small sounds, yeah, with full orchestration. So, so I like when on the album, it's, you know, full rock songs if it calls for it, guitars, bass, drums, the full thing. That's what
I'll do my own harmonies.
Yeah,
for
she'll do harmonies with herself. And
she really can create.
So I'm like a little doo-wop group in the background on some songs on the recordings. Yeah.
You create a little landscape then.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Nice. Another question I had is, how do you choose the percussion instruments that you use for the tunes? It doesn't have to be the ones we heard here today, since it's pretty stripped down, but I imagine this kind of music lends itself well to lots of noisemakers, for lack of a better word, egg shakers.
Yeah.
And as a percussionist, you know them well. Do you make it a point to involve your audience in that, or do you choose these things based on the song that you're playing?
We'll start with the live performances. We have a bunch of djembes, like little tiny, super durable, I might add, djembes that we hand out
to
the kids.
They sit on them.
Yeah, because they are super durable. Thank you, Meinl.
And throw them around and do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, but so we'll have egg shakers and durable instruments for the kids to play for the concert ever they wish. Sometimes we'll give direction on how to use them or, you know, what to do with them. But for the most part, they're free to explore, to kind of use the instrument how they wish with the song and react to it how they want. As far as recording goes, it kind of depends on where the song is headed. So that possum song, I'll just have some simple brushwork on the snare and some bass drum. Some of the songs are more stripped down and just congas or other percussion, like world percussion things that you add. It just kind of depends on the song. A lot of it's drum set. This next album is going to have a lot of more rock and pop kind of tunes on it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little more rocking with more drum set. Just depends on the song. And we have one where we don't even use drums at all. It's called Banging on My Trash Can. And it's using a trash can in the song, you know.
Oh, cool.
So that one's kind of fun. Specifically bought a giant metal trash can just for that song. So recorded with it, and we haul it to every single show.
His name's Trashy. He has a personality.
Yeah, he's Trashy. He's from New York. He's a little bit rough around the edges, but he's a trash can with a heart of gold. Yeah. So
should have named him Oscar.
Might be some copyright infringement on that one.
Oh, good point.
People do ask, is Oscar in there?
His name's Trashy.
It'll cost me too much. Yeah.
You know, I also was thinking of the Pixar movies is a parallel in that when I watch a Pixar movie with my 8-year-old niece, she loves it for different reasons that I love it.
Yeah, like, for sure. Like Shrek.
She's into all the colors and the minions screaming around. Mm-hmm. And I'm in it for the jokes that go over the head of kids.
Yeah.
that I get. Do you find that adults appreciate your music for different reasons that kids appreciate your music?
I've heard they do. Yeah, people say that.
So I work on campus, and almost daily I have a few people in my office who I've given them CDs because they have little ones, and they'll sing lyrics at me. Or they'll say things like, so when you coming out with another album? Like, I really love this one. I know it by heart now, but like, we're ready for some new material. Or, you know, kind of an earworm scenario, and they just can't get it out of their head. So,
yeah.
And I think we have some jokes hidden in there, too, like in the alligator song.
Yeah, there's some dark, like there's some dark undertones to that, for sure. You know, if you really listen, there's some pretty dark moments, but it's all in good fun. And live, we'll kind of do more banter with some jokes that maybe the parents will get.
Just like
kind of keep them a little
Pixar.
Engaged, kind of like the Shrek movies. And whether it's intentional or not, it's just kind of our humor, and we're just ourselves.
You
know,
the yellow light, you speed up.
Oh, no. Want. Yeah, some good old-fashioned dad jokes.
So. Yeah, that's good. I think of like all the Baby Mozart CDs and the popularity of those things. And, you know, sometimes adults will just listen to it just because it's calming and soothing.
Yeah, those are great albums.
Yeah, music, it doesn't have to be put into a box.
Yeah.
You know? So it's good that everyone appreciates what you do.
Yeah, it's family music. It's not just kids' music. It's something we want the whole family to enjoy, adults, kids alike. So it's that's the goal. And there's a big surgence of kind of that mentality too. I'm since joining Instagram and following people and just kind of getting into the scene a little more, there's all over the United States and world of, you know, same mentality as we have in here as far as music for families and just more. It's called kindy rock now. So kindy rockers.
Genre.
Yeah, kindy instead of indie. But there's a lot of great stuff. Casper Baby Pants, who is the singer for Presidents of the USA, has awesome kids music, and he's a big inspiration. And this group called the Pop-Ups. There's just so many now. It's you know, it's really neat to see it. And it's all really good music and all the great musicians too.
It's great. I remember growing up and watching Sharon Lois and Bram, or Sherry Lois and Bram, maybe on Nickelodeon
with
when
Lamb
I was
Chop
a kid. Or Lamb Chop,
pre-Lamb Chop.
Yeah, this is like,
oh, I don't remember pre.
With the elephant, like, is that Skidamariki Dinky Dink, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. And that was like my introduction to children's music.
And yeah, it was, Muppets it was just, and
Rafi.
I was big into Rafi as a kid.
Yeah, it's cool because there are, I don't know, music and the memory. There's such a strong tie to it, and like I can think of that song, and I'm instantly transported back to when I was 7 or 8.
Yeah, music is a time machine. Literally, I mean, it'll take you very strong memories.
Yeah, it's very cool. You're a teacher as well. We kind of touched on that earlier. And mainly percussion, is that right?
Yeah, I teach drum set mainly. That's my main instrument. Since I was about 11 or 12, I started that. And that's what I teach primarily. And then I don't feel comfortable teaching guitar or things like that. I'll play it, but I don't want anyone to learn from me on that instrument. So leave that to everybody
Musicians
else.
Musicians we're always our own worst critics.
Yeah, that's true. But so I teach drums. I've been teaching drums well, at least 16 years, pushing 20 years now teaching. So I've always gotten a joy out of teaching. When you see it click or you see the struggle, because you know you've been there too, and then you're just like hoping they'll push through and do it. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, you know, but when they do, it's really rewarding, you know, and you can see it on their faces and makes you kind of relive those moments too, is realize why it's all worth to teach.
Yeah. Is that something that comes natural to you? Like, well, I've had the privilege of teaching with you on a couple times, and you just have this, I don't know, there's kind of this force.
Oh, I don't know.
Kids are just kind of gravitated towards you in a good way, and you're always just the cool guy to get along with. And I don't know if it's
well,
the percussion vibe, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wondered if that's something that you had to work on. I know for me, teaching middle school, it was just it was always a challenge to connect sometimes. And I think I was maybe just a little bit too formal sometimes. I can be guilty of that.
But, yeah, for sure. I mean,
Does the laid back percussion thing lend itself well to
maybe
connecting,
I don't know,
with kids?
I mean, I like to think I'm pretty laid back, but when it comes to music and learning, I can probably be pretty strict with, as far as I just have a lot of expectations for students, especially private students who are there and, you know, paying money weekly to be there. You know, there's certain expectation, and while it's fun, you know, don't take yourself too seriously, but take the work seriously. I don't know if someone said that smarter than me, but so I kind of like to be that. You know, music, like you said before, music should be fun and learning an instrument should be fun, but with it, you can't just, you know, it'll only last so long just beating on your drums in the basement for, you know, without any direction or anything like that. It only gets you so far.
Yeah.
If you want to take it out of the garage or the basement or to the next level. But I do enjoy teaching, and as a preschool teacher it was fun. And
did that kind of seed a lot of your ideas for small sounds?
Kind of, yeah, because the kids would just say the wackiest stuff, like that's a good idea for a song, or you're just around all of that energy and all of that imagination all day, you know. It's just, times it's overwhelming, you know, in a good way, in a bad way, but yeah, it keeps you, like I was saying before, it just keeps you connected to that youthful wonder of kind of everything, and hopefully I'm trying my best to reconvey that via songs, you know, and capture that imagination, maybe even for adults too, maybe they want to get in touch with their, you know, that wonder again, or the being a kid, so.
Yeah, that's a noble cause, I like that. Well, why don't we play another tune?
Cool.
Would you like to introduce your next tune?
Yeah, this one's called Life on the Seven Seas. This is another one that's going to be coming up on the album. This one, again, has more instrumentation to it on the album, but we'll do it live. And this one has a good call and response, too. So if you want to repeat after me during this one, Craig, feel more than welcome to. There's a moment. We'll give it a nod.
Okay.
All right. No pressure. Life on the Seven Seas.
Stew, we spit
while we chew, we've got scurvy from neck to our toes. Hooks for hands and pegs for legs, and even a peg for a nose. Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, life on the seven seas.
Our skin like leather is worn by the weather, the salty sea and the sun. Tis not better than buried treasure, doubloons for everyone. Yo-ho,
yo-ho, yo-ho, me heart is yo-ho, fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, life on the seven seas.
Repeat after me if ye be brave enough. We are pirates.
We are pirates.
We do as we please.
We do as we please.
Now load the cannons.
Load the cannons.
With pickles and cheese.
With pickles and cheese.
Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho,
me heart is yo-ho, life on the seven seas.
Repeat after me once more. Walk the plank.
Walk the plank.
Davy Jones Locker.
Davy Jones Locker.
Clear the deck.
Clear the deck.
For a game of soccer.
For a game of soccer.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Life on the seven seas.
Everyone, yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho. Fill our sails with breeze.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Me heart is yo-ho.
If you're just joining us, welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. We're in the WMUK Takeda studio with Paul Bauer, Katrina Davidson of Small Sounds, and featuring me, Craig Freeman, on vocals for the Pirate Talk. What was the name of that tune?
Life on the Seven Seas.
Life on the Seven Seas.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun. My cheeks are starting to get sore from smiling so much.
That's good to hear.
This is good. So with that tune, that's a great example of like how you use audience participation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I missed my cue the first time.
That's okay.
And it made me think.
You get there eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you react to in live performances when people are into it versus when people are not into it? Like, have you had gigs where people are like, okay, what's going on here?
Well, our first gig literally had zero people at
it.
That
so
that
cool.
was, we just played for the for the
we
wait
forgot
staff.
To tell people we were doing.
We assumed there was like a built-in crowd and all this stuff, and there's literally zero people. So we just ended
played
up playing
the wait staff.
We played a bunch of Beatles songs and stuff. So that was interesting. But it's got, that was like a very first, that was many years ago.
I honestly can't think of any shows.
Yeah, most of the
recently,
time.
I really can't think of anywhere no one.
That's good.
Really jumping good around.
The only time maybe people aren't jumping around or if it's less participation is if the kids literally can't
like
stand
babies.
Or walk.
Sometimes,
and like,
you know,
babies
and the babies
or,
will enjoy it, but they'll just suck on an egg.
Or
and
if they're two or three.
Stare. Yeah, but even then, I think they're interacting, you know?
That's good. Well, that's what you want.
Yeah.
It's a great track record.
But mostly if it's like they're four or five or, you know, that age that they're. They're usually ready to go and bouncing off the walls. Yeah. So the tough part is sometimes getting parents to get up and participate. They're the tough ones.
Yeah.
I think so we
call them out on
call
it.
Them out.
I was
call them
say,
out on
you...
it.
Get involved.
Yeah. Get involved a little bit. So that's actually the tough one. We're still trying to nail that down a little bit. We've seen people that are really good at doing that. So just with time and just playing more and people just tough to get out of your shell too when you're older. They think, oh, it's time for me to just I can chill now and relax while my, which makes sense too, where, you know,
you need a break.
They
sometimes.
Need a break from, you know, we only get these kids for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. So that energy goes back home with all the parents. We get them riled up and we ramped. Ship them back off. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, I can tell you the, both of you are really engaging and it's probably a little foreign and weird to be in this setting, performing this kind of music.
It's funny.
I just look at you, Craig. I just look at you.
Katrina said, is there a way we can get some kids in the studio to just hang around? And, but so it is a little different. So you're used to seeing
just
all these
crazy energy,
a lot of extra noise going on. It's eerily quiet in here, but that's nice too. So
yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you're releasing an album soon.
Yeah.
Is this, maybe you can talk about how often you release albums, if you write music with the intent of releasing an album, or if you just have that much literature built up that you figure, okay, time to record something. What goes into deciding when to record things and leave it out in the public
the
forever?
First one we did had a deadline imposed by a grant that we had gotten. So that was kind of nice, actually, to have that deadline. It really pushes you to get it done and not overthink things. On the same token, now we have no deadline for this one that's been in the works for a while, and about time to release. Yeah, life happens. We, you know, we got married a year.
Bought a house, got married.
Yeah, and that
got
kind
a
of
dog, another dog.
So you can make all the excuses. So it's just putting the time in. So, but yeah, getting married was that takes a long summer. So, so we're working on this. We're hoping for a fall release for this next one. It's been in the works. So all the demos are done. Everything is sketched out. Now it's just a matter of time of getting into the studio and squeezing that time in between teaching and, you know, other projects and things like that. So yeah, there is a kind of a large body of work to draw from right now, which is nice. So we probably have an album and a half, pushing it two albums worth of songs. Not all of them are complete, but at least seedlings of ideas and things. So, and we'll round out the album too with older tunes that we kind of refresh, like Five Green and Speckled Frogs on the last one, you know, the classics, all the hits, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and we'll just kind of do them our own way. And so it's nice to have some originals, but maybe round out the album with a couple oldies but goodies and put a new twist on them. So
yeah. And then do you record do you have a home studio? How do you record your music? Or do you get it professionally done? Yeah, how does that work?
Yeah, the demo phase always takes place in the home studio. I have drums set up, MIDI keyboard, and I use Logic, made by Apple, and it's a really great program. Kind of has everything you need. For a while, I was just writing on GarageBand, and that's great too. And Logic is basically GarageBand on steroids, so it gives you a little more flexibility. And a lot of sounds I wouldn't have access to are on there, so I can, if I have this weird sound in my head, I can just write there. And it's nice to have that freedom to write at home and have all that at your disposal, and you're not feeling like you're writing in the studio and, you know, spending money and writing while you're there. That doesn't make much sense to do. So all the demoing and writing takes place in the home studio. And then when it's all done and we know what we want, the roadmaps are complete, we'll go in the studio and record what we can record and hire what we can't do. So I like to have live instruments and everything. So even if the demo has fake horns on it or something,
How dare you.
Like to hire people. yeah. Just to get the sketch out. And then, but for the real thing, I like to hire, you know, the real instruments, and it's, I think it brings a lot more to the album, and it's fun.
Yeah. Katrina, as far as the songwriting process, you mentioned earlier that you're involved like on car trips and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Do you have any like deep-seated aspirations to like write tunes? Like it seems like Paul is active in, you know, make the music making that kind of frees you up to kind of do what you want, I would think.
Yeah.
And what are your interests as far as contributing to the new music that you guys produce?
So I do write a little bit. So hopefully we can flesh one out for the next album.
She will have
about a fat cat.
Yes.
That's a tuxedo cat. It's a little jazzy number. So yeah, I do a little bit of songwriting when things pop in my head, or sometimes like if he has an idea, I'll help come up with lyrics or rhyme, or like you said, I'll help pound out parts and add layers of music mm-hmm. in. But I also do a lot of the photography. So okay. He's bouncing around on stage with the kids. And if it's like a little bit of downtime where I'm not as involved, I'll kind of run around with my camera. I work on our website okay. quite a bit. So I do a little more administrative and try to project manage a little bit.
Yeah, that's my weak spot.
So I do some of the more like dry tasks, budgeting and things like that. But I enjoy it. I like organizing and helping get the word out. And yeah. So
Every boat needs a rudder, so that's good.
And she is the, as far as I'm concerned, she's the lead singer, you know, for a lot of the tunes, especially on this next album. It's going to feature her vocals a lot more. I just kind of do the character voices and things like that. She's got the singing voice, and you will have a song on the next album.
Okay, we're getting it done.
On there, yeah.
That Tuxedo Cat song's
done, yeah.
Going on.
Yeah. It's a nice jazzy number.
And just in checking you guys out online, there's a music video that you guys have. Is that am I correct?
Yeah.
What went into the production of that? How did
Paul?
Is that something that you edited all the?
Yep, I did all that. I went to a public domain site and just found all these old cartoons, and I scrubbed, you know, probably a few hours worth of old cartoons in this really, really bad Voltron knockoff.
This is for the robot song.
This is for the song called "The Robot Loves to Dance." So, found this gold mine of this movie. I don't even know what it's called, but it's a Voltron knockoff, and I just kind of chopped it up and cut it up. But I had exactly what I had in mind for the song as far as what robots. And I went through a different phases of, maybe I should have someone animate this, and that was going to be really expensive, or maybe I'll do a stop motion. I'm like, I don't have time to do a stop motion. So I've just kind of always wanted to do a video, and then I saw someone do a public domain cut up kind of video before, and I'm like, that's kind of a good idea. Let's see what's out there. And this video is perfect. So I just spent, I don't even know how many hours I logged chopping it up and finding it and re-editing so that the robot would dance. You know, I'd find a couple frames that look like it was dancing. So maybe it's like pulling a sword out or something, but take two or three frames of that and just flip it back and forth and it looks like a dance move or something like that. So I don't know. It was just really fun to do. I like, always something I wanted to try to do.
Yeah.
And now I had an actual reason to do it versus kind of, I wouldn't say wasting time, but had an audience and a reason for the project versus just like an exercise or something.
Is that something that you think you'll do in the future? And did you release the music video at the same time that you released the song? Or?
Yeah, I didn't have the chops for that. Okay. And I was encouraged to do a video right away with the album when it came out. That was at least 3 years ago. And I wish I would have done it sooner, but at the same time, I don't think it would have turned out as cool as what happened. So each in its own time. But with this next album coming out, we do have video ideas in mind for some of the songs that are going to be out there. So we want to release videos shortly after the album is released. So now that we just kind of learn as we go, it's been kind of trial by fire with this whole thing, as Trina can also attest to.
That's great. So if people want to find out more about Small Sounds, Paul, how could they do that?
Well, they can go to smallsounds.co for a website. There's also Instagram at Small Sounds Kids Music and Facebook at Small Sounds Kids Music. And there's other projects that I'm involved with too, such as Kids in Tune, who I teach for, which is a great program here in Kalamazoo, which is a symphonic immersion program for youth. And you can catch any of those shows. We just had our final concert last week, but we'll have some things this summer, some little concerts through summer. Also teach for Crescendo, and we have concerts as well through that and things you can check out. So
that's wonderful. Well, I'd like to thank the both of you for coming in today. Thank you, Katrina. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Craig.
Yeah, and thanks to Martin Klim, our sound engineer extraordinaire.
Thanks, Martin.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.